After Xander and Grant had departed, JB stood in the entrance hall of the armory, waiting for Old Man Bud to make the next move. He had seemed to be okay with the idea of JB working with him when the Baron had been present, but the armorer could feel the air grow frosty as soon as the double doors to the outside closed.
Guess you better get yourself a room. Maybe go into the Ville and get some more clothes and shit. You didn't bring much with you.
I had things. Maybe Grant can get them to me.
Maybe. Esquivel!
After a few seconds, the Hispanic guard wandered into the hall.
Yeah?
You want to take this guy and get him some shit? He's only got the clothes he stands up in.
Yeah, sure.
Esquivel beckoned to JB, and together the two men left Bud standing in the hall, glowering after the departing armorer. They walked out into the early evening, the air still humid and stinking. They quickly moved past the enclosure that surrounded the building and into the main body of Duma. JB was glad to be back among people going about their everyday business. There had been an atmosphere inside the armory that he was sure he had felt before, but not being able to remember much of anything made it difficult for him to pin down what had been going on. Here, outside, he felt much more at ease. The Ville was packed with people buying and selling, arguing and fighting. Scuffles erupted on every corner, quelled by the distinctively dressed sec force.
So what do you need?
More clothes, I guess. Another pair of boots. I don't know what was in the bags that Grant still has.
You don't know?
The armorer had assumed that everyone at the armory knew how he had come to Duma, so he filled Esquivel in on the details as they walked the streets, dodging wags and running children. JB was aware of a few stares thrown at him, some hostile and others merely curious.
News travels fast, even if you didn't catch it. You're a trading Ville. They certainly ain't looking at me because they're not used to outlanders.
Yeah, I guess there were a few loose mouths from the secure unit. Just hope they don't get known to Grant.
So what's the problem, then? Why am I so fucking important or weird that people are staring?
It's not every day that someone turns up at the bottom of a well.
The two men entered a trading post that was little more than an old house with the front windows knocked out and replaced by a sheet of old plexiglass, cemented into place. Inside it was dingy and dirty, and smelled of old rubber and leather, along with tobacco and alcohol. It was more like a bar than anything else. A small gnome of a man of indeterminate age was bent over a counter, meticulously sewing the upper of a work boot to a new sole cut from an old tire.
Yo, Bonnie, heads up. You got a customer.
Go fuck yourself, asshole.
Take a look around, Chief.
Esquivel watched him with interest while he searched. JB found a suitable pair of boots and looked up to see the sec man studying him.
Something I can do for you?
Just wondering how much you really remember, I guess. Not every day we get such an enigma.
E-what? Shit, you just make that up, S?
Just something I picked up from those old pre-dark books Bud's got. It gets kind of boring sitting around there all day otherwise. Means a mystery, something you can't quite fathom out.
The man behind the counter looked at JB for the first time.
You don't look like much of that to me. Just some poor dude got caught in a rock fall and got lucky came out alive. You're lucky the only thing you lost was your memory.
I'll take these.
How are you going to pay for them? The way I figure it, you ain't got no jack, and I don't give credit.
Esquivel pushed forward a handful of jack.
Here, Bud'll take it out of what the dude gets paid.
So he's working in the armory then? The rumors are true.
Depends what the rumors are. But ain't no rumor about the way Xander treats shit that gets out of hand.
Okay, whatever you say, S.
Boney took the jack. He returned to his work without another word, and the two men turned to leave the shop. A woman flung the door open and barged past them to the counter, slamming down a pair of damaged boots, heels and soles coming away.
Listen, shithead, I had to work two nights to pay for these with a piss-poor lamp trying to work out why the crankshaft on Xander's personal wag was fucked. Probably because some asshole like you who fucks it up in the desert. Last thing I want is to blow hard-earned jack on shit that falls apart in a week.
Well, honey, you could earn some jack making me hard and then hold it in your mouth until the swelling goes down. Then you'd have all the boots you want without even having to get on your back.
Without warning, the woman hit Boney with a right jab that knocked him backward. He stumbled and fell into the shadows at the back of his store.
Don't try that shit on me, asshole. I ain't got a price, except for putting back together the pieces of old tech that you assholes can't work properly.
Boney lifted himself to his feet and rubbed his jaw ruefully. JB could now see that he was only about 5 feet in height.
No need for that, LMA. I'll replace the goods. But the offer still stands.
I ain't for sale.
Shit, babe, everyone's for sale one way or the other. I sell myself for boots and shoes so's to get by. You sell yourself for fixing stuff.
But I ain't selling no sex favors.
You be the only one who ain't. It's a seller's market, and there's always men who want pussy. You could do a whole lot better.
Maybe my idea of better ain't the same as yours. This is over. Just give me the boots.
Boney took another pair and placed them on the counter. LMA turned and came face to face with JB and Esquivel, who were still standing by the door.
Yeah? And your problem is?
No problem. Just curious.
About what?
About why you're so pissed at everyone. And maybe about a few other things.
Yeah, and maybe I'm more than a little curious about you. A man who comes out of nowhere, claims to have no memory, and just maybe is some kind of legend to the likes of Xander. That's a bit convenient for you, isn't it?
Maybe, but I'm not making it that way. That's other people.
Tell them that when it blows up in your face. Maybe they won't see it that way.
Okay, that's a fair point, LMA.
Yeah, if you want to discuss it some more, then come and see me sometime. Esquivel here knows where I am.
All three men watched LMA go. Then Esquivel indicated to JB that they too had to leave. Out on the sidewalk, LMA had disappeared into the crowds. JB looked out for her dark curly hair tied up on her head and the oil-stained jeans and cotton shirt that she had been wearing. But she was only about 5'4" and easily vanished among the people crowding the streets.
She'll be around, dude. She's always around. See, in some ways, this place ain't run like other bills. Trade is what we're all about, and anything that can be traded is. I mean, everything, and everyone.
So what Boney was saying about pussy
is just about right.
Esquivel led JB to a store that sold linens and cottons, where JB could pick up a change of clothes.
I don't actually come from here. I was in a convoy. Fell out with the trader running it and figured that I'd do a little sec work until I could find another convoy. Maybe I never will. I've been here a long time now, and it's hard to get out. There's lots of good things here, but I don't know. Gaudy sluts are gaudy sluts. Most guys wouldn't want their old lady to be one. But here, it's like who can get the most jack any way possible, and every woman will sell it. Her old man may even sell it for her. That was kind of weird at first, everyone doing it. Thing is, Xander actually expects it. And if you don't get your old lady to sell her pussy to any passing convoy, he gets kind of pissed at the way you're turning up the chance to make some jack, especially since he gets a cut.
But Ella May doesn't sell herself. How does she get away with that?
You heard her talk about the wags? She's the best mechanic I've ever seen. She's got an affinity for old tech in the same way that you, if you're who Xander thinks you are, have an affinity for blasters and shit. Girls are natural. And that's bought her a ticket out of doing what she don't want to do.
Must have been a gamble telling Xander that.
Yeah, you're right there. Ain't many of us who can cross the big man and come out of it in one piece, you know. Listen, we better stop this. There's too many ears to hear this kind of shit, you know what I'm saying?
JB looked around at the passing residents of Duma, going about their business, and the passing traders from convoys, looking for some action during their downtime. There was a certain wariness about the place, something JB felt certain he'd have to tune into if he was going to survive in Duma. They picked up a change of clothes and headed back to the armory.
You'll be eating with Bud tonight, and I'll tell him how much the clothes and boots amounted to. He's gonna have fun with that.
Yeah? What's going on? As soon as Xander left, the old man seemed to change.
You'll find out soon enough without me telling you.
Back in the armory, JB found where he would be sleeping. It was an airy, well-lit room at the back on the upper floor. While he had been out, Grant had seen to the delivery of the armorer's bag, and as he checked it, he felt sure that none of the ammo or grunts had been taken from him. His own weapons, the Smith & Wesson M4000 and the Uzi, had been returned, as had his Techno knife. He noted that he had supplies of ammo for other weapons. Did this mean that he hadn't been traveling alone? If so, what had happened to the people he had been traveling with?
And who were they?
JB also found a mini-sextant in among his belongings. Holding the thing in his hand felt right, but even though he thought long and hard about it, he couldn't recall anything about how he had obtained it or the last time he might have used it. Frustrated, he packed the instrument away, along with his change of clothes. He looked around the room he had been given. There was a table, a chair, a bed with a good mattress, and clean sheets and blankets. Inside, this stirred some kind of memory. But as with everything else, it was just a fraction out of reach. One thing he did know, to find such luxuries was rare. He decided to go down and join Bud. He was hungry, and he also wanted to work out why the old man's attitude had changed so rapidly. It was obvious Bud had feigned his enthusiasm for JB so as to not to cross the Baron, but the big question was why he didn't want JB around. JB found that the old armorer ate with the Sekhmen in the kitchen at the back of the house. It was warmer there than anywhere else, with a middle-aged woman, glistening with sweat, working over a log-fueled stove. Several Sekhmen, including Esquivel, were sitting around a long wooden table that showed signs of age and heavy use. Bud was with the Sekhmen.
So, you're joining us?
If you've got no objections.
Not my call. Sit down and eat with us. You know Esquivel. The others are Drury, Kane, and Easy. They're on duty here tonight. Xander works a rotation system on the Sek around here. Xander wants Esquivel to stay here on permanent duty and keep an eye on you.
JB wasn't surprised that the Baron wanted to put a guard on him. Caution wasn't a bad thing, despite the fact that the Baron was convinced of his identity. Duma had enough of an armory to make that an imperative. But JB was damn sure that Bud wasn't supposed to let this slip. Something confirmed by the look Esquivel shot him. The air suddenly grew frosty once more, despite the heat of the kitchen. JB sat, and the woman put a plate in front of him, with fatback bacon, beans, and cornbread.
I'm Liza, though that ignorant old fart thinks I don't count, seeing as I'm only a woman.
JB was glad for Liza breaking the tension that had suddenly sprung up, but he still wanted to know why Bud was hostile. They ate in silence for a while, none willing to risk the old man's rancor and ruin the meal. Just as they were finishing, JB heard something behind him. Someone else entered the kitchen, and as he looked up and caught the expression on Bud's face, he could tell that it was someone the old man was pleased to see.
Hey, wondering where you were, boy. You nearly missed the eats.
Just trying to work out why that MP5 wasn't working. Can't find a damn thing wrong with it.
JB shifted in his seat to get a look at the newcomer, who was also eyeing him with curiosity. The lad was only about 18, with light brown skin and long dreadlocked hair that was tied up behind his head. He was about 5'8", and only 100 or so pounds. But he carried himself in a manner that suggested a wiry strength. For a moment, it reminded the armorer of someone. Maybe more than one person. Their eyes locked for several seconds, each trying to assess the other.
Ollie, guess you didn't get a chance to meet the infamous J.B. Dix earlier. J.B., this is Ollie, Bud's son.
The old man had been training his son to succeed him. And based on the comments the lad had made about the MP5, he was a keen student. But now, Xander had installed J.B. and ruined the old man's plans. J.B. didn't blame him at all for being hostile.
So you're the one that rode with Trader.
That's what they say. I can't remember a fucking thing, and like I keep telling your father, it's not me who's making these claims.
Same effect, though.
I'll leave it, Dad. It's too late tonight. First light tomorrow, we'll see if he's as good as they say.
Esquivel shot a wry grin at JB. The Sekhmen was aware of JB's earlier encounter with Bud and the results, but let the boy find out for himself.
Till tomorrow, then.
JB walked out without looking back and was halfway to his room when he sensed someone behind him. Instinct kicking in, he whirled and went into a defensive crouch, moving toward his tracker. Taking his pursuer in an arm hold, JB flipped him onto his back and had the point of his Tekna at his throat. Before he realized, it was Esquivel.
You've been here too long. I could have had your throat out before you reacted.
Maybe, maybe not. I could have taken you out, but Xander wouldn't like it. I had to risk you'd look before striking. Besides which, you're a little jumpy.
Yeah.
JB rose to his feet. He held out his hand, and Esquivel took it, allowing the armorer to assist him to his feet.
I figure that must mean I've had to be.
Yeah, well, just watch yourself in here. Any more stunts like that with another sick, or better still with Bud, and they may just use it as an excuse to buy you the farm.
What about the boy?
He's okay. A nice kid with a real gift for this. If you take over, I figure you'll keep him. It's just that his father wanted to hand it over totally to him. You're a problem he didn't need.
You know, I understand that. I didn't want this any more than he did, but he'd better not try to fuck me over.
He's too scared of Xander to do anything. Unless he could pass it off as an accident or your fault. Which is why you need to get off the wire. As for Ollie, he wouldn't do anything, because it'd come back on his dad. Besides which, if you really know your stuff, he'll get too interested to hold any grudge against you.
I guess Xander knew what he was doing when he put you on my back.
Listen, I know why you want it out of the kitchen, and I figure you haven't had some fun for a while, so seeing as you've got the rest of the night, why don't we hit a few bars and you can see a little more of Duma and what it's like?
You got the jack.
Yeah, but Bud'll enjoy taking it out of your pay.
Night in Duma differed from day only in the amount of light that was artificially generated. Oil generator-powered incandescents and old salvaged neon lights cast a series of conflicting glows and shadows across the sidewalks and roads of the ville. Baron Xander had built Duma into a ville that was one of the richest across the Deathlands. By attracting convoys and making it a meeting and trading point for them, and by schooling his subjects in the art of draining every last drop of jack from the convoy teams, Xander had found a way of keeping the wealth of the convoys within the boundaries of his fiefdom. The best way to get jack from a convoy team was by offering brew, jolt, and pussy, not necessarily in that order. Along the crisscrossing main streets of the ville, which were broken only by the blacktop that ran through the center, virtually every building offered all three, at a high price. There was no cost-cutting or free enterprise in Duma, no bargains to attract the customers. They would come anyway, and Xander set the prices, which weren't to be tampered with. The teeming streets were full of variously intoxicated people, the women competing to take in patrons. The smoke and stench of sweaty, drunken humanity was almost overwhelming. But if this was to be his new home, then JB figured he'd better get used to it. By that time of night, he was also getting less attention than he had earlier in the day, as the people around were too drunk and too absorbed in their own interests to care. JB and the sick man slipped into a bar.
This is the best place for a drink around here. Ice Pick don't mix too much shit in with the brew, and he does the best moonshine in the whole of Duma. He swears it's been in his family since way before the new cost. Shit'll blow your head off.
Sounds good to me.
When glasses filled with a grayish-brown spirit were in front of them, JB picked his up and turned around to cast an eye over the bar. It was full. Most of the patrons either standing by the bar or sitting around a handful of tables that were scattered across the small floor. Chairs backed into one another, and it was easy to see that the later it got and the drunker and more stoned the patrons became, the more likely it was for fights to break out.